This is the Hong Kong Football Podcast.
Kowloon, Kowloon, Hong Kong. We like Hong Kong. That's a place for you.
Kowloon. Yep, Hong Kong Football Podcast. Coming to you from Kowloon, Hong Kong, in a week in which the Hong Kong team's Asia Cup dreams got even harder than they originally seemed. After a couple of disappointing games during the international break, we're going to be running the rule over both of those games, plus talking about what's coming up this weekend in the Hong Kong Premier League. My name, as always, is James Legg, and I am joined, as always, by Tobias Dusser. Toby, you look angry about the Hong Kong team's games.
Mostly tired, I think. It was a late kickoff yesterday night, 11 p.m. Eventually, it was actually shown on TV, which was quite surprising. It was a nice stream.
It was a very nice stream from Now TV. Yes. Good on Now TV for that.
Shout out to Now TV.
Yeah.
If you need any advertisement segment here, you're welcome. But yeah, as you said, there is, I think, some reason to be angry as well. It was a very unconvincing performance from the Hong Kong team. And I think our expectations against Lebanon were maybe a bit higher. We probably expected that they would maybe lose or finish with a draw. But it's not about so much the result, I guess, but the way they lost.
Yeah, I mean, let's just roll back and talk about the basics. So they lost 2-0. Both goals coming in the first half. The first one from Mohamed Gadar, and that was in the 27th minute. And then only, 7 minutes later, Hassan Matuk scored a second from, especially the second goal, probably should have been dealt with a lot better. It was a ball that could have been cleared about three separate occasions. And, you know, for a while now, we've been talking about how Hong Kong's strength is its defending. And
you have been talking about this for a while.
Yeah, that's true. I have been saying this for a while, and I guess some of us are wondering if it really is, and if it's not, then what is the strength? But we'll get to big picture complaints in a moment. How did the team line up?
Yeah, it was quite interesting. So Yap Hung Fai was back in goal after his injury.
Obviously.
The defensive line was interesting. Lee Chi Ho played a right back, which he is also playing at Mate Cho Hak at the moment, and he looks quite good in this position. So that was a okay decision, I believe. Then the center backs were Festus Baez and Helio, and you had Roberto Afonso on the left. Why are you laughing?
Why was he on the left?
I don't know.
I just don't get it. Like, he plays as a center back, he plays as a defensive midfielder. On what account was he playing left back? Especially when Wong Zi-ho is on the bench.
I don't have an answer to this, unfortunately. But continuing with the lineup, we had a midfield that was somewhere like five people, I believe. You had Huang Yang and Leung Chun Pong more in the center. On the left, we had Lee Hong Lim. And on the right, Jack Seely, which was, again, another surprise.
Yeah, Jack Seely's a right back. But, you know, he's a very buccaneering right back. There's nothing too controversial about that. He gets up and down the wing.
Right. Anything else to add to this? You don't seem as surprised with Jack Seely right midfielder.
I'm nowhere near as surprised by that as I was by centre-back and defensive midfielder Roberto Afonso playing left-back.
But to complete the lineup, we had then Sandro as a more or less a central midfielder.
Yeah, which is not a thing that I've ever liked to see.
Today, I've never seen you depressed at this before. You always were so optimistic. You're always the more optimistic among the two of us. So
yeah, I know. Which is, a totem of where we've got to. But anyway, sorry, I won't even let you finish this.
All so right.
Lee Hong Lim was left wing.
And then as a sole striker, we had James McKee up there lonely by himself.
Very lonely.
But yeah, it's not really his fault, to be honest. And what was interesting then was that Kim realized that this is not going to work after Hong Kong was 2-0 down.
Mm.
So he made a change, taking off Lee Hong Lim and bringing in Tan Chin Lok.
Occasionally Taipo captain, only 21. Great player. Good to see him getting in the team. But he comes on for Lee Hong Lim. And we think McKee switches to the left wing. Sandro goes up front, which is where I would certainly suggest that he should be. And Tan goes in the middle where Sandra was. That seemed to patch things up a little bit.
I think so. Also in the second half, then Hong Kong looked a little bit more dynamic. I'm not sure if it was just because they realized they have to do something. Yeah, it looked a bit better, but still you were missing a kind of match plan, I believe. Like, the players looked like they're not really sure what they're supposed to do. If they should go through the wings, if they should go through the middle. It looked much like a big confusion to me.
In the second half, there was a much more confusing change, wasn't there? There's a couple of even more confusing changes when... who came on? When they were... Oh, when Jean-Jacques Lama, who was quite poor in the friendly against Jordan, we'll talk about that in a moment, he came on for Seeley and went to centre-back. But then it wasn't immediately apparent what that meant, because you had a load of centre-backs on the pitch, but Festus is playing like defensive midfielder. Roberto Afonso, it was hard to tell if they'd gone back to like a back five with full-backs, had they gone to... It was basically impossible to tell. And this is a thing that happens a lot, isn't it? It definitely happened against North Korea in the previous competitive game for the Hong Kong national team. Often it's really not apparent to, certainly to the fans or to spectators, what the plan is, but it also feels as though it's not apparent to the team what the plan is either. And that's an issue.
Yeah, provided that there is a plan in the first place, which is, yeah. Which is a big question indeed. And coming maybe to the game against Jordan, because I think this very much shows this randomness that is happening, because the lineup of these two games were so different, which is surprising because you play against a physically very similar opponent, a kind of Middle Eastern team that, you know, they have very similar playing styles and so on. And I think Lebanon didn't look as strong as Jordan did, but they played similar kind of football, or tried to play. Against Jordan, what Kim tried to do, and what was his argument, I guess, before the whole selection of the team, was that he wants to give young players opportunity to play. So Hong Kong started with Tan Chin Lok, but also
Ling Ai Hoi,
and Wong Zhe Ho. And later on, we had also Lo Kong Wai and Wong Wai coming. His whole point was that, you know, he wants to make a change in the entire squad to give young players opportunity. But then against Lebanon, he apparently realized, okay, maybe that's not the way to do. So the youngest player on the pitch was Yap Hong Fai that day at the starting 11, who is 27. Which I think makes you question his earlier decision and the whole thing that was going on during the selection drama that we had involving Bai He, but also a lot of other players that were not in the squad this time. I actually don't want to go too much into the selection debate because it's leading to nowhere, I feel. Mm-hmm. No matter, like, if we talk about national team and you discuss about, oh, he should have selected this player or that player. Okay, I get that, you know, like, he's the coach and maybe wants to make this decision. The sad thing is that over the last 2 years, we didn't see any development of the team.
Mm.
And also that they might have a certain plan that they would stick to. What's your impression? Are you dissatisfied with the selection of the players, or is it more the playing style?
It was like a hopeless performance. You couldn't point to a situation in which Hong Kong would score. You couldn't say, oh, this is how it'll happen. Like for example, when Eastern play in the ACL against like these big teams like Guangzhou, or, well, Guangzhou is a bad example, but Suwon or Kawasaki, it looks defensive and it looks unlikely that they'll get a goal, but you can at least say, well, you know, if someone plays a nice ball for James McKee and Manuel Bleeder puts himself in the right place, it might happen. I just couldn't see that when I was watching Hong Kong. Even when James McKee had the ball, which didn't happen often in the opposition half, it was hard to see how it was going to build to anything because the team doesn't attack as a unit. It's like, it's just this solid defensive block. Well, not even a solid defensive block. It's just a defensive block with these like outriders that they just kind of send to attack. You know, you do that. Go on. You go and go on McKee, go on Sandro, you work something out. Like, there's no attempt to move the line forward. There's no attempt to get involved from behind that kind of front line. And that's all well and good when you're playing against one of the best teams in the group, in this group anyway, which is Lebanon. But I don't even see anything that gives me hope when Hong Kong are going to play Malaysia, or when they play Lebanon at home, or when they play North Korea at home. Like, what is the plan to score goals? Because at the moment, it looks like they will concede goals. And that's the issue. But one thing that springs to mind for me is, when you think about how much confidence has dissipated over the past, say, 18 months since the big, obviously the two big nil-nil draws against China. I mean, even the wins against the lesser teams like Bhutan and Maldives. How many players are not there anymore? Like, it's like a full lineup of players, mostly attacking players as well. You know, players like Carey and Alex Akande who are injured. Ita Parika is injured as well. Paulinho has been injured ever since then, it seems. And a lot of players who've just maybe moved a little bit too old. You know, they've moved into a certain stage in their career now, like Lo Kuan Yew, Lam Kar Wai, Chan Soo Ki. Like, these are all attacking options. Zhu Dixuai, who was one of Hong Kong's most dangerous players, basically can't get a run of games anymore because he keeps getting injured. So I have a certain amount of sympathy for Kim as well, because I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, why have you got McKee and Sanjo as your front two attacking players? But then it's like, who else are you going to play? Like, seriously, is there anyone?
Well, I know one.
Apart from Chucky Okwara.
Right. Thank you. But he's scoring for RNF, right? So he would actually know how to score for a team where you don't have any expectations that they would score.
Yeah, and when you're watching that game, I genuinely think that's the answer. Because, look, I've got to be honest, I really like James McKee. I think the way he plays football is very admirable, built entirely on discipline and fitness and commitment. And often it has good results. But I don't think he's the man to lead the line for Hong Kong. Sandro is having a great, especially over the past few months, he's been in such great goal scoring form for Kitchy. But the service that he's getting from, most notably, Fernando, he's not going to get that from anyone in the Hong Kong team at the moment anyway. I don't see either of them being prolific for Hong Kong if it carries on the way it is.
So, that all said, like, what does it mean now for the Asian Cup qualifiers? It was the first of six games in a very tough group, something we knew before. Lebanon, Malaysia, North Korea, it's almost the worst case scenario you can get. And nevertheless, winners and runners-up will qualify. So Hong Kong needs to get the second spot, basically. But after that, what are the chances, really? Like, how?
Look, if you lose your first game and it's away against one of the better teams, I don't think that's a disaster. You think I'm underrating Malaysia, but let's just say...
We just have a new head coach, by the way.
Who is?
Mario Gomez.
Oh, formerly of South China.
Right.
Not Mario Gomez, the German striker. Different guy.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's just get that one out of the way. So, let's just say we beat Malaysia home and away.
Let's just say. Okay, no, I give you that. I give you that, okay.
Even then, like, that's nowhere near enough. Like, Hong Kong would now have to get a result against North Korea, basically. And that was the last competitive match that Hong Kong played. And they were thoroughly outclassed by North Korea in the EAFF tournament at the Mongkok Stadium. So, yeah, it doesn't look great. I think this probably was one of the games that Hong Kong needed to get something from. And not only did they not get something from it, but they did not look good. So this is a bad start, that's what I'm saying. But it is one game. And you never really know.
So one thing that I'm particularly interested in, because I think our podcast listeners will know that you always had some faith in Kim.
I think it's fair to say that, yeah.
Okay. And I was like the bad guy who always like had to criticize this and that. Mm-hmm. But it seems that it's drifting away a bit. You're losing your faith in the head coach.
Yeah. I think all that's been proven is that Hong Kong are not terrible. Like, over the past 18 months, they haven't lost to a bad team, which is creditable. You know, in all seriousness, you know, they saw off Bhutan, they saw off the Maldives, they saw off Taiwan and, well, Guam. But Guam are a bit of a special case because they struggle mostly. But I do not see any hope of them beating anyone in the middle or top order of things, or even giving them a game. And that, for me, is an issue. I think this is the best he will do. The best he will do is to get out of the preliminary group like he did. And then at the moment, I don't see any hope of Hong Kong getting out of this group or progressing, to be honest.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, is probably what you've been saying for a long time. I just wasn't listening.
No, I very much agree. And I think, as you said, I think we should give some credit to Kim, definitely. And you basically said it in a very nice way right now, that he showed that the Hong Kong team has potential. And with what they showed, for example, against China, you could feel that there is something there, but he was not really able to develop this further and to work with it.
But I feel as though we've ranged around over this topic for long enough.
I think so.
We'd be very interested to hear what you think, listeners. Please get in touch, podcast@offside.hk. What do you think? Is it time for the Hong Kong FA to look somewhere else for a coach? But Toby, I saw there was some controversy with Chan Siu-Ki and some mainlander guy.
Yeah, you can call him like that. it happened. When did it happen? I think it happened right after the China-Korea game that China won. Very surprisingly. South Korea, yes. Thank you for clarifying.
You never want to get them mixed up.
Right. So, as probably most of you have heard by now, China beat South Korea 1-0 last week.
It's funny because the Chinese didn't say anything about it.
No, right?
They were really gracious and quiet about it, yeah.
So this is the reason why we tell you again. But what happened is that after the game, a player from China called Liu Songwei, who used to play for Rangers until very recently, until 2016. Okay. You remember?
I don't remember him, no.
No, I also don't remember him. He used to play at Shanghai Shenhua like many, many years ago for a season or so, but never really had a breakthrough in China, then came to Hong Kong. And he basically posted on his Instagram a rant of how great China is and that Hong Kong will never reach the level because they only use foreigners. And then ending the whole passage with a very, very rude insult, which is shocking because he even played for the Hong Kong national team before. So what happened is that it immediately caused a reaction from Chan Siu-Ki. So he basically replied on Facebook saying, first, I congratulate China for winning against Korea. And I was told this is like this kind of typical polite congratulation that you say at the beginning, but actually don't mean. It's a quite common way to do here, apparently. Before you start with the
invective.
Right. And basically saying, what would the CSL be without foreigners?
Which is a fair point.
And then it even became more absurd a few days later when then Liu Songwei posted another picture on Instagram that shows his Hong Kong ID and his two-way travel permit cut up into pieces.
Which was, in a way, quite hilarious, but
it's quite an extreme measure to go to. Like, you know, it certainly is.
Yeah.
And it's also weird. The funny thing was also that you could see this Hong Kong ID that he was not a permanent resident. He refused to become one. And again, Chan Siu-Ki used this opportunity to took a photo of his Hong Kong ID on the back that shows right to a boat, which Liu Songwei apparently didn't have, who also basically now ended his career or now is just playing non-league football in China. So maybe he has some personal issues that causes this, or his Hong Kong girlfriend broke up with him. We don't know. But he seems to be very, very upset. But to add to all of this, Chan Siu-Ki posted another picture this morning with showing Iran beating China 1-0 and asking in a very ironic way, oh, what is the total point count now of China? I haven't seen it yet. Is it out yet? So again, giving a little bit of banter here. That's it. That's all the news that is behind this little story.
It's good for Chan to be filling up the time that he's not using spending playing for the Hong Kong national team.
But he was in Macau.
And he was in Macau playing for his club, Hong Kong Pegasus, against the Macau national team. Now, look, I asked this question on Twitter and no one responded.
No, there was a response this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And Leung Kahang was injured.
Oh, how, how convenient.
So just for our listeners.
So Leung Kahang, the Hong Kong Pegasus striker, he's also the only Macau player to play at a high level. And I thought this was interesting that they were, these two sides were playing each other. And I wondered aloud on Twitter which team Leung had represented, and it turned out he was injured, which, as I say, I think is a little bit too convenient. I think he just didn't want to tell Kevin Bond that he didn't want to play for Pegasus, he wanted to play for Macau instead.
Right.
Yeah, so moving on from controversies, the Hong Kong Premier League is back this weekend. We'll talk about it after this quick break. The Hong Kong Football Podcast is out every Wednesday. You can get it from iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Okay, so moving on from Hong Kong national team business. And although, did you notice, Toby, that in this game, this was one of the rare occurrences in which two national teams play each other, which have a plant on their flag?
It's a very interesting point, I have to say.
Can you name any other countries with plants on their flags? I don't think so.
Not from the top of my head, no.
It was the Battle of the Cedar Tree and the Bohemia Flower.
Beautiful.
Anyways, just thought you'd like to have that pointed out for you. But moving on to the Hong Kong Premier League business, it's back. There's only, what, four game weeks left in this very exciting season. I'd say the biggest game of the weekend is actually the last game of the weekend. That's at the Yuen Long Stadium at 5:30 on Sunday, at which Yuen Long will play Tai Po. Big one in that battle in the middle of the table between two teams who have been having very good seasons. But Tai Po have gone a little bit off the rails recently. Results not as good as they have been, and they're missing quite a lot of players for this. Ita Barika is out injured, probably for the rest of the season. But so are David Lazari, who is suspended. Tan Chun Lok, who's picked up 10 bookings for the season, so he's got a 2-match suspension. And Fung Hing Wah, who was sent off against Southern. So a depleted Tai Po team.
That's true, but also Yuen Long is not complete, right?
The suspensions are piling up. Alexander Randelovich has picked up 5 bookings too, so he'll be missing, but presumably they'll just bring in someone else up front, like Stefan Pereira or Diego Higino. They don't have any lack of options when it comes to front men. So I guess Tai Po will be a little bit more affected by missing these players than Yuen Long will be. Now, how do you think Tai Po are going to deal with this?
As you said, in recent games, Tai Po were quite unstable. They showed some good performances against even Kitchi, which they lost eventually, but also Salvan in the Sapling Cup. But then the other week, they again were a little bit off. And given now the big loss with especially Ita Barika, who has, I think, broken part of his kneecap or something.
Yeah, so which is bad for them. I mean, he'd really reinvigorated the team since he arrived in the transfer window, hadn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And he'll be a big, big loss, definitely. So it's not looking too great. But that said, I think they're always good for surprises when it comes to this, when you least expect them. With David Lazari missing, for example, they will probably opt for a very offensive lineup with Yudo Nakamura and Lucas Da Silva up front. So they might go all out for it. And for Yuen Long, on the other hand, they are still fighting for, is it the third spot?
Yeah, they're still involved in that fight for third.
So they should pick up the points as well if they want to stay up there. And also, especially keep South China at bay, right? They are like now the direct contestants for,
well, Southern,
including someone,
yeah,
right?
Southern are actually in the driving seat there. They're on 29, I think. So is South China, and then Yuen Long are a little bit behind, maybe 3 points. Do you think Tai Po's main concentration is the Sapling Cup final?
That's a good point. I haven't thought about this.
It could be, but it's...
Which I think is what made the third. Yeah. There's still some time to it, so... Now it's just exercising games for,
yeah, but it for the just, final. It feels as though they were involved in that... Kind of middle of the table battle for... What I would call best of the rest, you know, outside of the kitschy Eastern duopoly. But I don't feel as though they are anymore. I think that they've... Especially defensively, their weaknesses... have been exposed to a certain extent, especially with the loss of Ita Parika, Tantran Lock for a couple of games, and the sustained form of Yulong and Southern. I don't really think Taipo are involved in this race anymore. They're certainly also not involved in anything near the bottom of the table. So as long as they can keep that sixth place, that is to say not be in there with Rangers and Pegasus in that little mini league that we have placed them in, then it's kind of job done for them. And then if they end the season with a trophy, then even better.
But I think it's fair to say that even if Taipo just finished, and my just was here under quotation marks, just finished sixth, for the first season coming back from the first division, this is a very, very respectable result.
And that is the thing that we kind of forget. I think sometimes when we're talking about Taipo, we forget that they have just come up again from first division, and you wouldn't know that to watch them.
So what would be your call for the game? You back Yulong for that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, I've got to back Yulong.
So fast. Didn't even think about it. Didn't give in a second.
I think Randelovic isn't that big a loss to them. He's a good player, but I think all that means is that they're going to put Stefan Pereira up front or Diego Higino. I don't think that makes a big difference to them. I think they have a lot to play for. I think generally over the course of the season, they've been the better team. They play well at Yulong. I see no reason not to. Oh, although I should mention they're also missing centre midfielder An Lok Fung, who is serving the third game of his 3-match suspension for that sending off against Southern. But again, I think they'll be okay.
Which is harsh. Probably, maybe in the CSL, he would have got like a 6-month ban.
Why? Do you think that Yulong won't win this game?
No, to be honest, I don't really argue with this. As you said, Yulong, given the recent performances, they probably are the more stable team. And given all the suspensions for Taipo, it will be very tough. The best result I could think of for Taipo would be a draw.
Okay, well, speaking of teams that were only promoted this year, HKFC... will play South China. This game was actually supposed to be on Friday night, but it's been moved to Saturday night, 8 p.m. Saturday, Hong Kong Football Club. I should say that all of the games on Saturday are actually live streamed on all of the usual channels, including on.cc, that's on.cc, the Hong Kong Premier League's own YouTube account, and so on.
Wow, so this is like 6 hours of Hong Kong Premier League football it's on Saturday.
It's Super Saturday, Toby.
Wow. Should I have to cancel all my other plans? Oh my god.
Yeah, you could sit at home and watch it on your phone. Yeah. Or you can watch it on the telly, that's right. So, yeah, South China will be visiting Hong Kong Football Club. They only recently played them in what was also a postponed match. You remember the game that was rained off back then? So they won 4-0 last time. Hong Kong Football Club, as we said last week, are basically done, aren't they? It seems extremely unlikely that they will not finish bottom this year. South China are just one of the more unpredictable teams. And probably, in fact, I would say they're probably the most unpredictable team in the Premier League. You're never quite sure which one's going to turn up.
Yeah, slightly more unpredictable than Taipo.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's one of those two. But given that these teams played only like 2 weeks ago and South China won fairly comfortably in the end,
in the end.
Yeah, it took a while for them to break through. It was 4-0 in the end. Do we think the same South China will turn up for this game?
Yeah, I would expect a very similar result, to be honest. Let's also not forget, HKFC, they haven't won at home.
They haven't won at home all season.
So that's not a good sign, neither. Also, I think HKFC also have a suspension, which is quite crucial.
Yeah, Zoltan Getchi, the centre-back and I think captain of HKFC.
Now, one good news for South China, on the other hand, is that if you looked at the lineup of the Hong Kong national team, there's actually no South China player playing against Lebanon.
That is interesting, because maybe 2 years ago, you couldn't imagine a Hong Kong game without Chan Wai-ho, Chan Siu-ki, Jack Sealy, maybe even Andy Russell. Of course, both Russell and Sealy have left, and Chan Siu-ki have left South China since then. So yeah, big boost for them in terms of match fitness, I guess.
That's a way hard to say it, yes. But so it seems that Komatsch might be back on track.
Yeah, it was given as a Zhang own goal. But, you know, I'd kind of forgotten about that game, that excellent game between South China and Eastern. And you're right to bring it up because they showed such a fighting spirit in that game. They came back from 2-0 down. And I think sometimes that's been a problem this season for South China, is the resilience. It showed that there's still a spark in that team. They still clearly want to make a mark on this season. Of course, finishing third is the aim for them. I mean, they're on 29 points. They're 7 points behind Kichi, who are in second. So, I mean, it's almost mathematically impossible for them to get second. But yeah, they're in this fight with Southern, who are on the same number of points. And not only Komazic got himself back involved with goals, but Marko Perovic scored as well. And yeah, maybe that suggests that HKFC aren't going to get that first home win for the season, sadly. But speaking of Kichi, they will play BC Glory Sky on Sunday. This is at the Hammer Hill Sports Ground.
Oh, the best noodles around, right?
The best noodles close to a football stadium in Hong Kong. At a 2:30, which is a great time for getting noodles before or after. This is quite a depleted BC Glory Sky team. Probably the two most important players, Everton Camargo, their top scorer, and Miko Teodorovic, will both be suspended because they've picked up so many bookings this season, which is a massive loss. BC Glory Sky aren't the best opponents at the best of times. And without Camargo, who scored a hat-trick only last week against HKFC, you've got to think that they're not going to do too much damage to Kichi, who they did do damage to earlier in the season, if you remember. It was a 0-0 draw between these two teams. Still looks like being a very costly draw for Kichi, because they're still off the pace when it comes to Eastern.
It took us very much by surprise back then. We were also saying that, look, Kichi must win that one. And he didn't.
Yeah, and you're right. And I suppose, in theory, you don't need a striker to get a 0-0 draw.
So what I also noticed is that Kichi, they played a friendly against a Malaysian team last week.
Mm.
And it seems that Alex Akande is working on his comeback.
Oh, that's good.
Right. So he was now injured since basically the ACL qualifiers, right, against Ulsan. Hanoi. Right. And then since his penalty kick against Ulsan.
Yeah, well, I think the injury was definitely the case after the Hanoi game. They just happened to play him against Ulsan on the off chance that he could score a penalty, and he couldn't.
Because of the injury.
Maybe.
Right. So that's established now. So he's on the way back, which is, I think, good news. Also for the Hong Kong national team. Let's not forget about that. And I think that's all the kind of changes there are. Lam Kawai, he hasn't played for a while now.
Yeah, he's been kind of on the fringes anyway. I don't think he's as important to Chu Chi Kwong's plans as he used to be.
Yeah, they're not short of lambs.
They are not short of lambs. More lambs than a shepherd. I'm sorry. I actually can't believe we've got this far into the season and no one's made that joke.
Oh, Jesus. Well, that's a good one.
Kichi's form player recently has been Sandro, scored something like 5 or 6 in the last 3 or 4 games. Didn't look so good for Hong Kong national team. And is that going to be an issue for Kichi in that he's gone away, quite a long journey to the Middle East? He probably only comes back today, Wednesday, before the game on Sunday. He's going to play 2 tiring games. So, would they go with someone else, maybe?
I think so. They still have the option of Rufinho,
who scored all of those goals in that friendly against Penang.
Exactly. What was it, a hat-trick or what?
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe they give him this opportunity.
Which would be a deserved opportunity. He always does well off the bench. I think he's just kind of... I don't really understand the Rufino situation, to be honest, because he always looks pretty good. He looks a little bit indisciplined in that he roams all over the pitch. And I think his main issue is that he clashes too much with Fernando. They both want to be left-sided forwards. But I don't think it would be a problem if they were to play him up front. I think he's a good player.
No, I very much agree. And I think that I'm almost sure that we will see him back. And maybe then, if Kitchy does well in the first half, maybe Alex Akande will come for some minutes in the second. Which brings us to the game of Eastern.
Yeah, you're right. That was supposed to be next. On the running order, I've kind of just forgotten about it. They'll be playing against Pegasus away. I say away, but that'll actually be at the Moncoq Stadium, which will be Pegasus' home for this week and maybe next week or the week after.
Yeah, almost for the remainder of the season, I believe.
Yeah, bit of a throwback to a couple of years ago when Sun Pegasus, as they were then known, played at the Moncoq Stadium. Eastern are unbeaten for the season. Still.
That's pretty impressive.
Mm.
Is it the only team left now that's unbeaten?
Yeah, they are. And do you think they'll maintain it until the end of the year? Because it's been happening quite quietly. And I know it's the Hong Kong Premier League, so going unbeaten isn't like the biggest deal in the world. But nonetheless, that would be huge if they were to make the whole season unbeaten. Do you think they'll make it to the end of the year?
I think they have a chance to make it. They don't have so easy fixtures, to be honest. Aside from Pegasus, I think they still have to face Southern.
And they've got Kitchy on the last game of the season.
So it will be tough. But against Pegasus now in particular, I wouldn't see them losing for now.
Mm.
They still miss Manuel Bleda, of course, but they do have John De Silva and Michel Lugo, who can cause the danger in the attack. And you also have Baye, who I think is now so furious, he will maybe work on his new role as a goal scorer at Eastern, just to piss off the opposition fans.
And maybe he can get into some kind of beef with Chan Suki, who plays for Pegasus.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
Yeah, that's exactly what we need. Hong Kong players turning on each other. Pegasus have just come off the back of a win against RNF. Chan Suki scored in that game.
His first goal, isn't it?
That was his first goal, yeah. And then they played this friendly against Macau, which they won. Which way do you think this is going to go? Are you going for Eastern? You're wearing an Eastern t-shirt at the moment, so...
Yeah, but to my defense, this is from the Senior Shield final in... What was it? 2016?
16?
Yeah.
When they beat Southern.
When they beat Southern? Mm. No, sorry. This is from the year before.
When they beat Kitchy.
And they gave out this very beautiful free t-shirts that say, "Here we come again, Hong Kong Stadium."
Yeah.
I like free shirts.
It doesn't matter who it comes from. But I've never seen you wear a free Kitchy shirt. Although I don't think they give away free.
Exactly, that's the point. I wear any kind of free shirt as long as it doesn't have any fascist statements on it. I'm fine if it...
Yeah.
Just send them to... send a picture first to podcast@offset.hk.
What about like a Germany top? If that was free.
Well, I do have some red lines. Probably not.
Not a Germany top.
No.
Rafa Vienna? No?
No.
Okay, so there are lots of tops that you wouldn't...
Yeah.
But Eastern is on the right side of that. Red line.
For now. I don't know about next season, but for now, it's all right.
Okay. I'm sorry for making your choice of attire, so...
No, it's okay. I cannot really comment on yours.
So. Just, listeners, just so you know, it's a t-shirt with a kind of fish pattern going on. It's nice.
Oh, these are fish.
What did you think they were?
Like, underwater plants?
No. Yeah, they're fish.
Okay, well...
Well, that was a lot of information about our clothes that you didn't want. Which way is this going to go? As the question I asked you, which led to this sartorial discussion.
I think it will lead us to a Eastern win, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's all that I can really say about it.
But speaking of teams whose name is a direction, Southern will be playing against RNF. That is away at CSI1 Sports Ground. This is 2:30 on Saturday, part of the fully televised Super Saturday.
Wow. Yeah. That is televised.
That's the warm-up game. Yeah, I don't know why this game's being televised. I imagine this is going to be quite one-sided. Southern will actually be without Wellington D'Souza, who got an assist in their last game. The suspensions are really piling up at the moment. I guess you get to this point in the season. I mean, this would be a terrible result for Southern if they were to do anything but win this game. They haven't lost a game in 10. They've won 7 of those 10. This is in the league. Obviously, they did lose the Sapling Cup semi-final against Taipo.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Now, I seem to remember RNF nearly gave Southern a bit of a scare last time these two teams played in the Premier League. Southern were actually 3-0 up, but then Chuck Yu Kwok, that guy, got 2 goals in the last 10 minutes or so. So they're not used to having it entirely their own way against RNF. But at the end of the day, there's quite a large gulf in quality here, isn't there? Which means that I don't think this game is going to be all that competitive.
No, I agree. And I think what's now adding to this is that RNF don't really have anything to play for anymore. They're out of relegation, more or less.
Mm.
Now it's just about them finishing 9th or 10th. I'm not even sure they have a shot on the 8th anymore, do they?
Well, actually, they could. They've got 4 games left. And if they were to win all of those 4 games, they would finish above Rangers if Rangers don't get any more than 3 points. However, RNF have only won 3 games all season. So I don't imagine they're going to win their remaining 4. So yeah, I think the point stands. They don't have too much to play for. The team has a little bit of an issue, I think, with continuity. You know, players coming in and out. Unless some of them want to play for a move to a better team, like Chucky or Kwok maybe, or to get the attention of the Hong Kong national coach. I don't know, but yeah, I don't think they're going to give it too much, really. And Southern do have a lot to play for, are playing very well. I think, again, this is going to be, I don't think it's the most unpredictable weekend in the Hong Kong Premier League, if I'm honest. I don't feel, except for maybe the Yuen Long Taipo game, I don't think there's much doubt over who's going to win these games. I hope I'm wrong. I hope next week I'm proved completely wrong and HKFC beats South China and RNF beats Southern, and, well, I don't want BC Glory Sky to beat Gigi, but
no, I'm fine.
You're fine with that situation?
Fine with everything.
Okay, well, that's everything this weekend. Look forward to Super Saturday. Make sure to tune in if you can on those streams, if you can't make it down to the stadium. But until then, I will not be here next week. I'm on holiday. Toby will hear.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember, yes.
Yeah, had you forgotten all about that? So it'll just be Toby, and I don't know, maybe he'll wheel in some kind of special guest.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
But until then, have a good weekend. I hope your team wins, unless you support BC Glory Sky, in which case I hope they lose. Bye bye.
Bye.
Kowloon, Hong Kong. We like Hong Kong. That's a place for you.